Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So, if you're serious about decentralized finance, you probably started out just aiming to maximize those juicy trading fees.
Of course. That's where everyone starts.
But let's be honest, chasing yield without any protection is basically just gambling.
Yeah.
Today, we are moving past that beginner phase. I mean, completely.
Right.
This deep dive isn't really about generating yield. It's about fortifying the capital base that makes that yield possible in the first place. We're building a fortress around your assets.
And that is the core mission right there. We are building a comprehensive professional-grade risk management system for an entire LP portfolio.
A whole system.
Yeah. For high-stakes LPs, the mantra is just fundamentally different. You manage risk first, and then you optimize returns second.
Why that order?
Because unmanaged risk, you know, whether it's an exploit or some massive price swing, that is the number one destroyer of capital. It's so much worse than just having low fee rates.
And we have some incredible source material for this. A really detailed framework covering portfolio structure, the exact mechanics of hedging.
And structured monitoring protocol.
Exactly. We're going to explore specific actionable tools like neutralizing your price exposure, which is what delta hedging, and designing these mandatory portfolio-wide risk limits, the kind you can't ever break.
That's it. We're translating conceptual risk awareness into, you know, practical hard defense mechanisms. If you want to move from being an amateur yield farmer to a professional portfolio manager, well, this is the foundational layer.
Okay, let's unpack this, and maybe let's start by defining the enemy. You mentioned LPs face three fundamental risks, and critically, each one needs a totally different mitigation strategy. So what are the big three we need to isolate?
So first, there's the one everyone knows, impermanent loss, IL.
Right.
And we can assume you know the definition, but the key distinction here,
right,
it's purely an opportunity cost versus simply holding the assets.
So if the price comes back.
The IL reverses. Exactly. Yeah. Because it's market driven and potentially reversible, we mitigate it primarily through hedging or maybe choosing stable pairs.
Got it. Opportunity cost. Okay, the second one, loss versus rebalancing, or LVR. This feels like the one that separates the pros from the amateurs. It's stealthy and a lot more damaging long term.
It truly is. LVR is the value that gets extracted from your pool by arbitragers.
Oh.
They spot a price discrepancy between your pool and, say, a big centralized exchange, and they execute a trade. They're taking value out of your LP position before the pool can rebalance itself. And the devastating part, LVR is never reversible.
Never.
Never. It's a permanent monotonic drain on your returns, and it's happening every single block.
That makes it structural handicap then. If we can't reverse it, we have to structurally minimize it. So what's the high-level defense strategy?
We focus on two things. The most critical is a mathematical insight. LVR is proportional to volatility squared. Sigma squared.
Hold on a sec. If LVR is proportional to sigma squared, that means the risk doesn't just increase linearly with volatility. Mm. It's exponential.
Precisely. And think about what that means strategically. If you can choose a lower volatility pair, say ETH-BTC, which tracks way tighter than something like a volatile altcoin paired with USDC, you might have the volatility.
Okay.
And having the volatility means you reduce the LVR by a factor of 4. It completely alters the profitability equation for those high-fee pools. This is why professional LPs are so incredibly picky about the pairs they enter. It's way beyond just looking at the fee APR.
That's the strategic asset choice. What about the operational side? You mentioned chain and block time dependency.
Right. LVR is fundamentally block time sensitive. Arbitragers only have a window of opportunity between blocks, you know.
Slower the chain, the bigger the window.
The bigger the window, and the easier it is for them to capture that value.
Yeah.
If the chain is fast, the arbitrage opportunity is fleeting, and that reduces the value they can extract.
So are we saying that LPs who are purely focused on maximizing LVR efficiency should essentially bypass Ethereum mainnet entirely?
Yeah.
And just opt for faster chains? That feels like a huge trade-off given Ethereum's massive liquidity.
That is the trade-off you have to analyze. Absolutely. Mm. Chains like Arbitrum with, 0.25 second blocks, or Solana at around 0.4 seconds, they significantly suppress LVR compared to Ethereum's standard 12 second blocks.
So you're sacrificing liquidity depth.
You're sacrificing liquidity depth and maybe some security perception for greater operational efficiency, for less structural drag. It's why we see innovations like dynamic fees on protocols like Meteora, for instance, which adjust the fee rate up when volatility is high, specifically to compensate LPs for that increased LVR exposure.
It makes the cost of doing business explicit. Okay, what about the third risk? The one that kills portfolios instantly?
That one's the most straightforward, but also the most catastrophic. Smart contract risk.
Bugs, exploits, hacks.
All of it. Anything leading to permanent, unrecoverable loss. And since you can't hedge against a catastrophic exploit in a single protocol, the only offense is, well, rigorous auditing, relentless vigilance, and mandatory ironclad diversification, portfolio limits.
Let's transition now to the core microdefense against those price movements, delta hedging. Can you define delta for us and explain why a liquidity provider even has delta exposure to begin with?
So delta is just the sensitivity of your position's value to the price of the underlying asset. When you provide liquidity, especially into a volatile pair like ETHIS to CHI, you are inherently taking a long position on that volatile asset.
Right. If ETH goes up, your LP position value goes up.
Exactly. And if it goes down, your value goes down. Delta hedging is the strategy to completely neutralize that exposure, so you are aiming to profit only from the trading fees, no matter what the market does.
That sounds ideal for a fee-focused provider. But what's the catch? Borrowing assets and maintaining a short position isn't free. Are the costs usually worth it?
That's the key analytical question every professional LP has to ask. The mechanism itself is simple, but the cost and the maintenance are critical. Let's walk through the three steps. So, step one, you provide liquidity. Let's say you have a $20,000 ETHIS DC pool. ETH is at $2,000. So you hold 5 ETH and 10,000 USDC. You now have a $10,000 long ETH exposure inside that LP token.
Okay, long 5 ETH.
Step two, creating the short leg. You have to create an equal and opposite short exposure. Mm-hmm. So you go to a lending protocol like a Rave or maybe a perpetuals exchange, you borrow 5 ETH, and you immediately sell it for USDC.
And that locks in the short position.
It locks it in, and it perfectly balances your LP's long exposure.
I see. But the moment you borrow that ETH and sell it, you now have a loan to manage. That short position requires collateral, doesn't it? And if the ETH price skyrockets, you risk liquidation on your short, which would instantly destroy your hedge.
Absolutely. That is the operational complexity right there. Delta hedging is not a set it and forget it thing.
Not at all.
Professional LPs have to actively manage the margin collateral on that short leg. If the asset price runs up fast, you have to add more collateral to stop your short from being liquidated. If it gets liquidated, boom, you are instantly unhedged and now fully exposed to that price movement on your LP position.
That brings the operational risk right back into focus. So step three, the end result, only holds true if you manage that collateral flawlessly.
Correct. Assuming perfect collateral management, the net result is delta neutral. Your $10,000 long ETH from the LP plus the $10,000 short ETH exposure from the borrowed position, they just cancel each other out.
So your profit is isolated.
It's isolated to your net yield. So LP fees minus borrowing costs and, you know, any gas you paid.
Okay, let's look at the financial proof. Using that $20,000 setup, long 5 ETH, short 5 ETH, what happens if ETH drops 20%?
Okay, so the impermanent loss on the LP side is calculated to be about minus $1,000. But because you are short, the value of that borrowed ETH has decreased. That gives you a profit of plus $1,000 when you buy back the cheaper ETH to repay the loan.
So the net price exposure loss is zero.
Zero. Perfectly hedged.
Wow. So if your LP fees were, say, $100 a month, and your borrowing cost for that short was $50 a month, which seems realistic, your net yield is $50 a month.
Which is a pure fee harvesting yield, totally isolated from market movement. That 6% APY is now a low-risk, predictable return, assuming, you know, liquidity and fees stay stable. This is why professionals go through all this complexity to turn volatile returns into predictable, isolated yield streams.
So given the complexity and the active management needed for that short leg, when should a provider absolutely commit to this strategy?
You should only hedge when the yield benefit clearly outweighs the borrowing cost and the operational risk.
So for bigger positions?
Usually, yeah. We're talking large positions. Think $50,000 or more. And for highly volatile pairs where the potential IL is significant, you would avoid hedging for small positions, for stable pairs where IL is negligible, or, well, if you actually want to maintain a bullish exposure to the asset.
Okay, that covers the core defense against directional risk. But let's look at the more surgical tools, options. This is where it gets really interesting, because options let LPs hedge against very specific downside scenarios while still earning fees.
Yeah, options-based hedging offers a precision that delta hedging just doesn't. Delta hedging is constant and complex to maintain. Options are like insurance. You pay a premium for a specific layer of protection.
Or you sell a premium.
Or you sell a premium for controlled income generation.
So let's start with downside protection. Protective puts. If I have a $10,000 LP position, how do I use a put to set a price floor?
So you're buying the right to sell your underlying asset at a preset price. That's the strike price. Let's say ETH is at $2,000. You could buy a put option with the strike of $1,800.
Okay.
And if that option costs you, say, $200, a 2% insurance premium, you have just defined your maximum loss from $2,000 down to $1,800.
So what if ETH suddenly crashes to $1,600?
Your LP position would suffer a significant IL. Let's call it minus $1,000. But your put option is now deeply in the money, and it gains $1,000 in value. The net result is you've covered the price decline, and your total loss is just that initial $200 premium you paid for the insurance.
And crucially, if the price never falls below $1,800.
You're still earning full LP fees, and your only cost is the permium. The strategy is fantastic because it lets you stay in the pool and earn high fees even when the market looks dangerous.
It's a calculated cost for peace of mind, and it lets the LP maintain capital efficiency. Now, for the flip side, generating income with covered calls.
Right. Covered calls are used to generate premium income by selling a call option against your existing LP position. You're essentially selling the potential appreciation of the volatile asset above a certain strike price.
Okay, so you sell a call with a strike of, say, $2,200 for a $150 premium.
Exactly. And what's the consequence?
Well, what is it?
If ETH stays below $2,200, the option expires worthless. You, the LP, keep the entire $150 premium plus your normal LP fees. This significantly boosts your overall yield. But if ETH rises above $2,200, your gains are capped.
Because the buyer will exercise the option.
And you essentially sell your inventory at that $2,200 strike. You're exchanging potential moonshot gains for immediate, guaranteed cash flow.
It's a strategic choice then, capping your upside to smooth out the income stream. That feels like true professional management.
It is.
We've isolated the fee yield using delta hedging and options. That's the micro defense. But what about the macro threats, the black swan events that can wipe out an entire portfolio? That's where structural limits have to come in.
Exactly. Here we shift from managing price risk to managing catastrophic risk, smart contract risk. And this requires mandatory ironclad guardrails that dictate your position sizing and your diversification. These limits prevent a single failure from causing an existential loss.
So what are the explicit non-negotiable risk limits that the framework dictates for professional LPs?
There are three critical tiered rules. The first rule for any single position, whether it's an LP or lending, is simple. Never risk more than 5-10% of your portfolio on a single trade.
That's the foundation.
It ensures that even if that position goes to zero, the portfolio survives. Then we tier the structural exposure. Max single protocol exposure is capped at 25% of the portfolio.
Why 25%? Why not say 50%?
Because if a major audited protocol like a top-tier exchange suffers an exploit, you are limiting your exposure to a manageable quarter of your funds. It's an explicit acknowledgement that smart contract risk is real and diversification is the only shield.
Makes sense.
The other two key limits are max single pair exposure is 10% of the portfolio, and max single chain exposure is 50%. This final limit forces you into a kind of geographical diversification away from chain-specific risks like a sequencer failure or a chain halt.
That structural diversification is vital, but not all pairs are created equal in terms of risk, are they? We have to talk about the correlation matrix.
This is so crucial for avoiding what I'd call hidden concentration. Highly correlated pairs like ETH-BTC or SUFITH or even USD-CSDT, they have to be counted as a single position in a single risk bucket.
Because they move together.
They move together, they suffer IL together, so they don't actually provide genuine diversification from each other.
So how do you practically define high correlation for someone looking at their portfolio today?
A good rule of thumb is to look at the historical data. If two assets move within, say, 10% of each other, 90% of the time, they belong in the same bucket.
And low correlation pairs.
Conversely, low correlation pairs like ETH paired with a highly volatile meme coin or a stablecoin with a volatile asset, they have to be treated as completely separate individual risk positions. And the 5-10% limit applies to each of them. If you fail to do this, you might think you're diversified, but you're actually running multiple highly correlated risks at the same time.
So moving from setup to maintenance, even the best framework is useless without robust, actionable monitoring. What are the key metrics that have to be on the daily and weekly dashboard of a professional LP?
Okay, daily, you need immediate feedback. That means tracking total portfolio value, the fees earned by position, impermanent loss by position, and critically for V3 pools, where the price is versus your defined ranges.
And weekly.
Weekly, you synthesize that data, you calculate the true bottom line, net P&L, which is your fees minus IL minus gas, and your return by protocol. And you do a formal check that you are still in compliance with all your hard risk limits.
Monitoring is looking back, but alerts make it proactive.
Mm-hmm.
What are the crucial thresholds that have to trigger an immediate notification for you to intervene?
You need instant alerts for four scenarios. First, the most basic. If your IL exceeds the fees you've earned over to rolling period, that just means you are losing money on a net basis.
That's a big one.
Huge. Second, if the price is approaching a V3 range boundary, don't wait until it's already out. Set an alert for when the price is, say, 5% from the boundary. It gives you time to analyze.
And the other two.
Third, any position exceeding its risk limits. And fourth, if your total portfolio value drops by more than 10% overall.
Let's talk about the anxiety-inducing practical decisions that come from those alerts. What do you do when the system flags that IL is higher than your fees? Is there ever a reason to just wait it out?
That is where the math meets the anxiety, yeah. You have to immediately calculate your break-even time and assess if the loss is temporary, maybe from a market spike or a big announcement, or if it signals a permanent shift in volatility or correlation.
So if it's temporary, you might wait.
You might wait to avoid gas costs, but if there's no immediate signal for things to revert, the general advice from the framework is unambiguous. Withdraw and reassess. Do not passively wait and hope the market bails you out.
And what about V3 range exits? That requires a different set of choices, made worse by the gas costs on slower chains.
That decision really defines professional V3 management. When the price exits your range, your position is 100% in one asset and you're earning zero fees. You're just holding assets on the sidelines.
So you have to weigh the factors.
You weigh three factors.
Yeah.
How far out the price is, the expected time for it to return, and the gas cost to rebalance. Your decision becomes a strategic trade-off between just waiting for a return, actively rebalancing the range to the new price, which costs gas, or just withdrawing entirely to deploy the capital somewhere else.
Finally, the ultimate safeguard, the emergency protocol. This needs to be documented, written down, simple enough to execute instantly. What scenarios require this level of pre-preparation?
Anything that threatens the structural integrity of your capital.
Yeah.
You have to have a documented, clear protocol for if the total portfolio drops by more than 20%, if there is a verified major protocol exploit affecting any of your capital, or during periods of just extreme, unprecedented market volatility where oracles might fail or liquidity just evaporates.
Simplicity is key.
Simplicity and pre-authorization of actions are paramount.
This deep dive has really provided a foundational blueprint for professional LP management. We've established that delta hedging is the tool to isolate fee yield from price risk, that strict portfolio limits prevent catastrophic blowups,
that mitigating LVR demands a deliberate choice of speed and low volatility,
and that setting up instant non-negotiable alerts is your primary operational defense.
If you leave here with one actionable item, it should be this. You must implement a robust risk monitoring system and set up those alerts. Now, capital protection is not a secondary concern. It is the absolute foundation upon which sustainable high returns are built.
And understanding these foundational skills is what prepares you for the next level of complexity, like managing Uniswap V4 pools or navigating advanced MEV tactics. Without this risk foundation, those tools just become high-speed ways to lose money.
That's right.
So here is the provocative thought we'll leave you with. Building on the structural limits we talked about. Beyond just simple diversification, are your emergency protocols truly simple enough? Are the steps defined, and is the gas ready to execute instantly during a major protocol exploit?
Review your portfolio today against those 10%, 25%, and 50% limits.
Until next time, keep protecting that capital.
Farewell.